famous article about Trump. No, there's a very famous article in the Jewish Week recently about keeping half Shabbos. Did you hear about this, keeping half Shabbos?
What's half Shabbos?
Half Shabbos, apparently.
Texting.
Texting, yeah, you're right. There's a whole texting issue now about Orthodox kids who keep Shabbos, except they text on Shabbos.
Get out.
No.
No.
Yeah.
So it's unclear how prevalent this is, meaning it was a big headline in the New York Jewish Week. Like that doesn't mean that it actually happens more than you think. You know, so the kids are like, yeah, everybody does it. All my friends do it. Could be at certain schools.
There's same people that are like watching television, like, during college football season, are like putting their time, television on time.
That's not the same as texting.
No,
it's not even close. Not even close. One is not really.
One is completely asshole. One is not in the spirit.
That's also
come on.
No, they're both asshole.
TV on a timer. Yeah.
Wait. Time out. Okay.
One second.
So it's clear to everyone now that texting is usser, correct? Except the isser, it is clear, except the category or the categorization of the isser is difficult to quantify.
What's the difference?
There's no age. For sure everybody says
same with turning on your light.
You're playing with difficult problems. It's an LED, but at the very most it's the Rabbanan. It's only according to the Chazon Ish. Nobody passes like that.
Why do doctors use a phone with their left hand on showers?
Because there's a Durabon, because you want to do a Shino on a Durabon. You could do a Shino on a Durabon.
What's the point of a gramophone? Like,
that's exactly the point. You want to do a Shino on a Durabon. It's a Durabon. Everybody agrees Durabon. Okay? Yep. Now let's say, yeah, really. Let's say.
Just say it's Durabon?
No, of course, the vast majority. Except the Chazon Ish says it's Bona.
But don't they say it's Makabe Pajish if it's not Bona?
Nobody knows what it is. It's the problem. Everybody agrees it's Usser. Everyone agrees that it's Usser. Nobody knows why.
Well, it's just texting.
No, let's say turning on an electric fan. There's no light, there's no fire, there's no spark, there's no nothing.
There is a spark.
No, there's not.
A fan?
Yeah, there is. Fan there is.
You turn a fan,
there's
a spark?
There's a spark.
Where?
In the plane.
You can see it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
You could have a glass like this.
Okay. Fine. Let's say I built a gramophone.
It creates a circuit.
Let's say I built a gramophone, which is ostensibly not that difficult to build. Right? In which I could build a gramophone that you could text, you know, like doctors need to do all the time. They have this thing. They have a gramophone that they use it in order to text, because a lot of the things that doctors orders can't be oral anymore. They all have to be, is that true? Like a lot of your orders have to be written now so that they have documentation?
Yeah.
Right. So Dr. Aaron has a gramophone because he wants to, he needs to text his medical orders on Shabbos. They send him a thing, he texts back. Does that ever happen?
Why are we even talking about this?
Hold on. There is a point. So now kids start doing it. And then the parents start doing it on Shabbos. And it becomes to the point where a large chunk of Klal Yisrael, for better or for worse, has accepted simply that one is permitted to text on Shabbos. You take it for granted.
It doesn't pass the sniff test.
Whose sniff test?
There is a sniff test.
Really?
Yes.
Now, if I were to ask a Jew in 1850, do you think, can I set it up so that I have automatically that my lights go on and off on Shabbos, what would that Jew say about the sniff test?
No good.
No way. Right. Really. Meaning, and today, everybody, the whole world does it. Even the most frumy frum of the frumy frums all use Shabbos clocks for their lights. Correct? So what my point is, the sniff test in 1850 is very different than the sniff test in 2010, 11, whatever we are. And the sniff test in 2011 will be extremely different than the sniff test in 2051.
But that's why we're lucky that we only live in
and you ask
we only
me
live
where,
today.
You ask me where am I going?
We only live today.
My point is, you talked about the tipping point. There is a tipping point when it comes to acceptability of behavior in the sniff test.
Yes.
And then rabbis can then say, yeah, it's a Drabbanan, it's only a Gram on a Drabbanan.
That's why it's so important that we believe in Emunas Chachamim. That's all we have. That's all we have is Emunas Chachamim. Otherwise, we'd be farting around in the dark without any idea of what we're supposed to be doing.
Well said, but then the Chacham didn't move to Israel either.
A lot did.
A lot did not. Most did not.
And those that didn't, many of them, not all, but many of them, would write about the fact that it's clearly...
What if the vast majority of them were saying, don't go to Israel? And what would you say?
Let's think about it.
Oh, you would say not to go to Israel.
I'm not sure. Maybe.
Except, of course, now in hindsight.
Maybe.
Really? Yeah. We're reading a whole book about that. That's kind of leading you on. Now, in hindsight, that was not such a good policy to take. Not just for the death of the... What?
That time would change.
What?
It would change with the time.
But what was the price
what's
that
the
was paid?
What's the bottom line? Wait, one second.
I'm saying this in the trailer.
Go back to the trailer. What's the bottom line? What's the bottom line at the end of the day? At the end of the day, when you go up to Shemayim, okay, and you're up in the, you know, and you know, you're up in 20 questions, and is God going to count the mitzvos and say, okay, Aaron Allen, two mitzvos, 470,000 of eros, okay? And therefore, whatever, this is it, you get Gehenim. Or is he going to say, well, two mitzvos and like 47,000 of eros, but these ones, like, you know, you did that because of where you were and what was around you and what the Rabbanim said to you at the same time. Like, in other words, it's not a matter of did I do more right than wrong. It's a matter of was I an Eved Hashem? Did I believe in what Hashem set down to me?
Really?
Did I believe
that? I'm saying, if you're an Eved Hashem, but you just didn't follow...
There are Hasidim that believe very strongly that it's like a mitzvah to shave their wives' heads and to walk around in a penguin suit all day long.
That's the good Arshir.
There are Hasidim
that believe very strongly that it's a mitzvah to go to the Palestinian Authority, extol the virtues of Arabs who kill Jews because Eretz Yisrael is the Sitra
Achra.
When that guy gets a Shemayim, they got Baruch Hu to say, Shkoyach, good job, well done, you are an Eved Hashem, you get the prize.
One second.
Okay.
It's
not my job to speak for God,
If you're a leader and you know better, like would say what we said about like conservative reform rallies. If you're a leader and you know better, and in any event you're still leading people down the garden path to disaster, I agree with you. God is not going to clap in a whole saying.
If
you're a follower and you feel that you're following the Rebbe and you're doing Avodas Hashem in this way, even if you're wrong, we know that that's okay. That's what it says.
I'm sorry. We again come to this point at which we have to ask ourselves. Some point, you are responsible for yourself, and you cannot say to the Ribbono Shel Olam forever, my Rebbe told me to. Sorry, you have, I believe, that we all have an achrayus.
You're supposed to leave your wife and travel to Uman for Rosh Hashanah.
Who said that?
People believe that.
Who said that?
Rabbi Nachman.
He said leave your wife? He said to bring your wife? He said to bring your family?
Don't know. But there are people that firmly believe that that
Listen,
is
spiritual. If that's thing. The worst thing that they're going to do, okay. We started with tzitzis. And you said, well, the golem goes to it.
You're saying that there's an absolute truth that if you find it, go out on it on your own, regardless of what other people tell you.
You were weighing the. I did not say that in the share. I said you weigh the positives and the benefits.
Do you feel the need to ask a shot before you put on tchilas?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. First of all, I know there are a bunch of them that do it. I know for a fact. So why would I have to ask a Shaila? I know there are a bunch of them that I trust that I've asked Shaila this week to do it. Right? Would you not agree?
On my level.
Would you not agree? Okay. Ask some of those, some of your Shailas to that same Rav who you know wears Tchelis?
I don't ask anybody Shailas that I know where they wear Tchelis.
Really?
That's not a Shkafic issue, isn't it?
A. Because... B. I mean, I feel at some point... I'm able to wait for myself. The Rosh Hashanah is going to come along and say to me, well, all of you don't do it. I say, I'm trying to get
out of
it.
You're at a different level than the rest of us. But
no, I don't
feel like I can make that kind of a decision without asking somebody that knows more than me.
I just don't
feel like I'm on the level. I don't feel like I have enough knowledge.
What?
It is setting yourself up higher than the other people. If I start wearing a black hat, you're going to say, look who's hoity-toity over here.
What are you talking about?
If I start putting on blue string, you'll say, this guy thinks he's more religious than I am.
Really?
I believe that. Yeah, I don't know enough either.
I totally reject the connection of the black hat and the blue strings. Because the black hat is a minhag. It's a uniform to identify with a group. If you want to identify with that group, that's great. It has no halachic bearing whatsoever.
Something like covering two coverings.
So use your talis.
I don't wear talis Friday night.
Okay, whatever. You want to wear a hat? Wear whatever hat you want. I really don't care.
I don't personally wear tefillin to my kol.
Again, hold on a second. That's the question is, and I said it specifically, the cost versus the benefit. There's an issue of gufnaki that Chazal bring down. That's brought down in the postgame.
Let's say I'm good at that.
What?
Let's say I'm good
at that. And if I talk to your Rav, I'm not good at it. I have issues even when I'm wearing it. So therefore, you know what I'm saying? But there's an issue of gufnaki. The reason that minna came to be for a reason.
The point I'm trying to make is that there's an idea of a Munas Chachamim that you have to feel comfortable making sure that you have
very
a more in what you're doing.
I understand that there's a lot of halachic inertia. And the reason there's halachic inertia is exactly for the reason that you're saying. I'm telling you, I'm quite confident there will come a tipping point where, and this isn't like, it's not just a CUNY thing.
I'll be the first one to buy them.
No, you won't.
Sure.
Well, you're never going to know. You're going to wait till the,
if my wife goes out and buys them and tells me this is what to do, then I'm there. I'm all over it.
Why don't you ask him? Why don't you?
He doesn't wear them today.
Did you ask him?
I didn't ask him, but he doesn't wear them.
I don't know your rabbi's. I think you should call him up and say, we have this discussion. What's the negative? Why shouldn't I?
Okay. I'm on there.
Okay.
I'll ask him.
Okay, there you go.
I'll report back.
Ramalachim Ketiv, we're on Perek Sheni, chapter 2. But I really think this is all relevant. And I'm sorry. I know Aaron got me off course.
And if he says
this
no.
This is relevant to Eretz Yisrael.
If he says no.
I'm sorry, but you had Rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael, in America, who lived and didn't go to Eretz Yisrael either. But and you called him and said, why didn't you move to Israel?
But they didn't say,
why didn't you move?
They didn't say it was bad.
What?
They said that me.
You think someone's going to tell you
Tehillim is bad? I'm not personally ready for this, but I support you 100%.
That's exactly. What did you say that? Ask him that question about your Tehillim. Say, I know you don't do it. Would you say I shouldn't do it? If I want to do it, would you say I shouldn't do it?
I don't want to do it, but I will ask him.
No. Say I want to do it. Ask him that way. I want to do it. Should I? You say I shouldn't? Or you're just not willing to do it? Exactly like that question.
Okay.
It's because you have exactly that same issue.
But it's not true, you can't say it. If you don't want to do it, you can't say I want to do it.
Yeah.
You can't lie to him.
But why would you not want to if it's a possible Kiyum HaMitzvah D'oraisa? That's what I don't understand. It says, you say, V'natnu al tzitzit akanaf p'til t'chele. Now, if you don't, I don't have on my tzitzis now, and somebody asked me, why don't you want to read it? It's like a good question. So, you got me on that. So it says, al tzitzit akanaf p'til t'chele. So, without a doubt, I am certain that on these tzitzis, I'm not being Mekayim the mitzvah of Tchelet. It's a separate mitzvah. I'm kind of busy arising of tzitzis.
And you think
I'm certain.
When you go up to Shemayim, God's going to say, oh, Reuven Spalter, during the week, you didn't wear tzitzis.
100%. Now he will.
You got zero.
No, not zero. I got the arising, but not Tchelet. The arising of tzitzis, but not Tchelet. Without a doubt, he would say that. He's a good question. I didn't come by it. Because me, especially, who believes in Tchelet, I of all people should do it. I'm just cheap. You know what I'm saying?
I'll buy it for you.
Thank you. Okay. Just did. So don't worry about it. You understand what I'm saying? So, like, but why wouldn't you? I don't understand. Like, you have a talis. You're putting on tzitzis. You care about the mitzvah. So what in the world, why wouldn't you try to also fulfill the words of the Torah that you say every day? So some guy thinks he figured it out. And we don't really know for sure, but we're pretty sure. 70% sure? 80%? Let's say 80%.
You think we're 80% sure? Oh, yeah. And all the robotics
people think,
they're just kind of fluting
in the way. No, they're just inertia. There's halachic inertia. It's healthy halachic inertia. I call it healthy halachic inertia. Sometimes at a cost. They're unwilling to change. For good reason, because change is very dangerous. Except, of course, this brings it back to our discussion. They were unwilling to change. They were unwilling to change their worldview because it was a threat.
I have a question for you.
And this threat brought about the deaths of many thousands of Jews.
Halachically, if you take a felt tip, a blue marker,
No. No, that's not Tchelet.
I didn't ask if it was Tchelet.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a
fish bucket? Okay, go ahead.
Okay?
No. I'm sorry. Yes.
I was going to ask if Tchelet is really Tchelet.
Do you take a blue?
If you take a marker and you color when you sit it with this blue marker, it is an Issu.
No.
So what is the problem of having. Let's say Tchelet isn't Tchelet. What did you do wrong?
Nothing. That was my argument. That was exactly my point.
How do you have a purple, green, yellow,
and it's red? Supposed to be mi'ikar hadin, because of the, Mishnah Berurah says, because of the rule of zeke, leva, and vehu, we have a minhag that the tzitzis is the same color as the beged. So if you have a red beged, the tzitzis aren't supposed to be white, they're supposed to be red. That's what it says. So people, there's no rule that it has to be white tzitzis. So if you took your blue felt marker and turned and colored your tzitzis, it would still be 100% kosher.
See, this is something.
So what's the problem?
That's all I said to him.
Well, I'm asking you.
I don't think there is a problem.
You're the right man, you're
right. That's exactly what I said.
What's the halachic? No,
I don't see a halachic downside. Why? That's why you said, why do you wear tefillin all day? There's a halachic downside not to wear tefillin all day. There's a reason not to. But I don't see, when I looked at the sources that I could see, I couldn't find a halachic downside, assuming that it wasn't chela. Assuming that it was the wrong color.
If it was the wrong color, is there a matzah issue that everybody's going to follow the wrong
color? So somebody says to me afterwards, well, what happens if everyone's going to think it's tchelet and Mashiach is going to come and say it's not tchelet? I say, then I'd probably switch. He said, well, everybody would think that it was and it wasn't. I don't see that as being okay?
I don't know,
yeah, really?
There's a million things we've done wrong.
Back to the tipping point, I kind of believe that, like, if it was really, like, the real deal, then it would have taken off.
It is taken off.
It did. A lot of people. Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. You can buy it in any Jewish bookstore you want.
Much more than it was.
Yeah.
Agreed, but it's still not really.
Every year, more and more. Yeah.
Nasris. UNESCO.
But the argument is,
okay, Perek Sheni. ואפס עצור ואפס עזו ואין זה לישראל. ולא דיבר השם למחות את שם ישראל מתחת שמיים ויושיעם ביד ירבעם בן יואש. So God was going to destroy the Jewish people because they were all idolaters and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't. Why? And who did he save them in? The hands of Yerubbaal ben Yoash. Midrash Tanchuma Amu al Pasuk Zeh. Velo Diber Hashem. Midrash says, V'chi mati bo shel Yerubbaal hacha. What's so good about Yerubbaal? Harei oved avodah zara haya. He was an idolater. So why would God save the Jewish people in the hands of Yerubbaal ben Yoash? Ele b'mei shelo kibel lashon hara al Amos. Yerubbaal was a nice guy. He did not accept lashon hara on Amos. Did I get you more mad at me? I apologize.
No.
Okay. V'otah sha'ah. Hayah dor oved.
Why I was mad at you in the first place.
What? What's that? Confirm why you're mad at me? Right. Not more mad at you, just that. No, Tasha Hayah dor oved avodah zarah. Rosh dor oved avodah zarah. The whole generation was oved avodah zarah. And the Rosh dor, the head of the generation, was also avodah zarah. Av al pi kain. Nonetheless, Ha'aretz shamati Avraham Yisach Yaakov lizarachai. Now, the land that I said I'll give to your children, tnu ota biyado. Give it in his hand, Zesh lo kibel lashon hara. Why? Because he wasn't Makabel lashon hara in Amos, who was the Navi. Amru, ma shalom masar biyad Yehoshua ben Nun, yad David HaMelech, masruhu biyado. That which they didn't give to David, meaning the whole Eretz Yisrael. Or Yehoshua, he got it. Shne'amar, biyoshiyem biyad Yerubbaal ben Yoash. Akan lashon hamidrash. Harei, behold. Kisha'ola, bevatzon ha'elyon yibarak loshia at Yisrael. Bisha'ah, shasha'ah dechuka lehamod. When God wants to bring back, give back, Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people when it's necessary. Moshia otam afilu biyad harasha gadol yoter. God saves Jewish people even in the hands of the biggest rasha, ke'oved avodah zarah. Rak shemotzi bo midah enoshit torah shel ahava v'achdut. But he finds some human characteristic that he likes. Shayisov v'zehu shelo mekabel lashon hara. So they picked something. Oh, it was not mekabel lashon hara. Shkoyach. Great. You know, really, is that it? Right. Mashalo masu la tzadikim ayoter gidolim yeshu benu midah ben hamelech. That which greater tzaddikim couldn't get, Masrabi Yado, Ashlai Azakai, Ukidai Batsmo. The Gam Hador, Alai Azakai, Ukidai, Amru Bamidashana. Okay? So, Rav Tana, we're stuck with a very important question. The important question is, let's say you're right, the Holocaust is happening, and it's the time of Mashiach. And this has got to be Mechamed Gog u'Magog. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised he'll save us. But we still don't deserve it. Like, if you look at the Jews in the times of, I don't know, ever, you know, in the last 2,000 years, like if you ask, do we deserve Mashiach coming? Can you look at the Jewish people as a whole and say, yes, we are meriting Mashiach coming? Answer is?
We change the phrase.
Why?
Why do we have to merit it? Why do we need it?
What do you mean?
We're clearly struggling to bring it ourselves.
Right.
So we need a helping hand.
We need a helping hand. But meaning, if you're going to have to merit it, it's not going to happen. So why would it, so Rav Tashlo is struggling with this, meaning even though it's time, and we know it's time, it's about the whole last chapter, talking about the time has come, and it can, you know what I'm saying? That we still don't deserve it. So his answer is? His answer is?
We do something good.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he wants to give it to us, excuse me, he will give it to us even though we don't deserve it. Nonetheless, why? Because that was his decision.
Why not we deserve it?
What?
Why not we deserve it?
Well, as a people, as a whole?
People aren't Shabbos, let's keep the mitzvah.
I don't think most Jews act like God wants us to act, to be brutally honest.
You people that are from the left.
From a ritual perspective, or a Ben Adam Lechaver?
That's such a problem.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Those are the two categories only. Meaning, I would say, do they act as Jews? Do they think of themselves as Jews? And do they purport themselves in that way? And you know what I'm saying? So there are many Jews that do, and are not ritual. So a lot of Jews now that, I don't know. Like all of the above. Do you think the Jewish people?
Most Jews.
So what about the mezuzah? Walk around with the
that's all you want, the mezuzah?
When Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
Most of those who aren't affiliated. They're not going to put a mezuzah on the door or whatever. Not even. Alpharetta.
Right. I think America is a slightly different case than most.
America is much worse.
Okay.
Yeah, America is a large Jewish community. Even here.
No, there's a huge amount of assimilation, different assimilation.
As optimistic as I am about Israel, I'm always a glass half full kind of person. Still, people are not Shomer Torah Mitzvah.
Okay.
Everybody. If you were going to redeem the world and send the Messiah,
down, do they believe in God?
Yeah, that's enough for you.
Yeah. Just that's Christianity.
Yeah.
God loves you.
Send the Messiah.
It was enough.
One second. What is? Let's ask a different question. What is the purpose?
Redeemable.
What is the purpose of sending this Messiah to them? What's the purpose of the Mashiach?
What was the purpose of saving us from Mitzrayim?
No, it's not the same thing. Why? Mashiach is
the lowest of the low.
No, Mashiach is not. That's a Christian thought. Christian thought is like, maybe this is also, I don't know. It's like you get to like a low point, like, and then boom, here comes Mashiach, and everything is hunky dory.
But I would envision Mashiach forever, I think. We're in the low of the low.
Not spiritually.
Physically.
You were subjugated.
Right.
It couldn't get any worse. The Goyim were beating you around all sides, and Mashiach would come. Yes,
right.
But not that we would get to the lowest spiritual level. Right. We were in Mitzrayim, and then all of a sudden Hashem would take us out. Because then we would be in Mitzrayim forever. That wasn't
correct.
I don't think that's the vision of Mashiach.
Correct.
The vision of Mashiach is that when we're at the lowest level, we would say, so why not now? When we're not at the
because
lowest
the Mashiach level. Is different. Mashiach is supposed to be. We're in a very difficult physical situation. We don't have money, we don't have power, we don't have whatever. But, like, we believe. And then Mashiach comes, and all of a sudden we're in this Me'elon Amhaba.
No, to do what? For what?
To enjoy the Shekhinah.
Really? That's the purpose of Mashiach? To bring about the enjoyment of the Shekhinah?
It's like Olam Haba and Me'elon Hazeh.
It's just like, what?
No?
That's not what they say.
That's a question. What? I think it's a fair question. What are we supposed to want Mashiach for? Ultimate spiritual pleasure, personal gain. Now you're getting somewhere. Okay, so now what's the purpose of Mashiach?
To set things straight, so that we,
to bring about the glorification of God within the world. Right. To reveal the truth to the world. Can we accomplish that? Are we ready for that in this situation in which we find ourselves? Meaning, when we're not meritorious.
Maybe not us, but the rest of the world is an element of the rest of the world has also.
They're ready, or they need it.
And they might need it or whatever. But
I understand, but as a matter of how much they need it, if we're not ready for it, what would be the point?
Well, if it comes with spirit.
What?
If it comes with spirit.
Really?
No.
Not so much.
It won't. Right. He'll come. You told us this.
Right.
Mashiach comes tomorrow.
You said you'll suffer.
You're annoyed.
We'll get you to that point, and then he'll come, and then you'll do what you should.
The suffering.
And then he'll come again.
Correct.
And finally,
the suffering is there to get you ready.
So why can't we have it now? Why do we have to wait 2,000 years?
I don't understand. You want to suffer in order to get there?
If I'm going to suffer 2,000 years ago, why do I have to wait?
You aren't ready.
Wait,
2,000 years ago.
Either you have to believe that at some point we're going to be ready ourselves and we're going to merit it.
Right.
Or at some point we're going to go through this suffering and we're going to come out the other end all nice and clean and here we are ready.
Right.
Why?
The fires of whatever.
So either you've got this, you have to believe that we're going to merit it, which I'm not sure is really where you're going with it.
Right.
Or you have to say, why didn't it happen 2,000
years ago? Let's go on. But why 2,000 years ago we were there and we didn't merit it and we lost it.
1,800 years ago. Like, don't know when we lost it.
No. What do you mean? That's not fair. Cook has a whole thing about this. He says that
after the first exile,
he said that Eretz Yisrael had to be emptied.
It was emptied
in order to purify itself from the kochor atumah, he calls it, that we brought into it.
Right.
And once the kochor atumah dissipated, then we could start to come back.
So we came back, and then it
took a long time for those kochor. Took a long time for those kochor atumah to dissipate.
It wasn't one exile.
Oh, the second exile, he means. So
second exile should have been the final exile.
What do you mean?
The second exile should have been. The
Babylonia?
Redemption for the first exile should have been Mashiach.
Do you think the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want it to be Mashiach?
Ribbono Shel Olam wanted us to be Mashiach in Eretz Yisrael.
The first time.
What
yeah.
if the third,
right.
Well, what if the third one is then?
What?
What if the third one is
then? Yeah. And?
Well, then what happens?
Come on.
At some point. At some point, we have to believe that he's going to help us out and say, You know something? You just can't do this yourself.
Right.
And this is really where I want you to be, and this is where you really want to be.
Very good. Okay, so we have to get to the next page today. So in order to make you feel better, otherwise you're going to be very upset. Minera li shetam hakatu bisfor. Shetam hazehu hakatu bisforno pasuk perei urveis. That's a Yaakov Avinu. V'zeh l'shono. V'lo tidag shikalcha zeracha b'yaragoyim. God says to Yaakov, don't worry that your children will be destroyed. Gam she zeracha zera bilti hagun, even if they're not hagun, appropriate. I don't need something prepared. I'll do what I said no matter what. Even if you're not mukhan, how does he translate it? Not appropriate or ready or worthy. God doesn't need a reason. I'll do what he says. Even if the Jews aren't appropriately meritorious, nonetheless, God will do it. Some flower man. Apparently had a yeshiva. Some guy went to the yeshiva and then he went into flower. And he wrote a book. Which is 1937. He gave me his book. Like this guy was a... What? The flower guy was a balabas, you know? Friedman's flour mill, and whatever. Who going? Olam nena miyagia kapo. Mashalo nimsa kaze b'mdinot elu. Zchut Torah tutama lebetzum betzuma itzok ha'itim hazeh. B'hakdama, in his introduction, shepiresh ma'amar ha'navi. This guy, like, Ritech, I always love that. Like, and when you read about his stuff, he didn't forget anything. He's like, yeah, in 1937, some flower guy gave me a book that I read. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many guys get books in the mail that you put on the shelf? And I remember what he wrote in his Akdama, and I'm quoting it for you. What are the odds that in Budapest, Rav Teichel still had that flower guy's book with him?
Zero.
Right. And just pointing. Okay? Shepiresha Amari says, Ki hecharim yamushu vagvotu mitanu v'chasei mitach lo yamush, chasdai, chasedai. Yan ki chesed Hashem eno tali b'shum siba acheret. Right? The chesed Hashem is not dependent on anything. Asher be'edera sidra yibutal m'soved. Because, and if that cause is taken away, then God's support will be taken away too. If you take away the land, then there will be no mountains. We find in nature, some in mountains. When there's an earthquake, then you lose the mountains. The mountains and the valleys are dependent upon there being foundations. No foundation, no mountain. God's kindness is undependent on any other thing. Therefore, it will never waver. Right? The mountains will sway. Beautiful stuff. Okay. Israel. The Maharal says, "Shekol ha'haftachot v'yudei Yisrael shiftiach otanu Kadosh Baruch Hu aydei nebiyav." All the promises of God, einam tluim ve'einam kshrim mishum tanai v'shum inyan. They are not dependent on any conditions. Va'av im anu chas v'shalom, einenu osim ritzono yikayem otam banu. Even if we don't fulfill the will of God, Kadosh Baruch Hu promises He'll do them. Ha'arev ve'harich ve'zayin niflaot. Rambam says, bisranu otanu, God, He informed us and He strengthened us, Yibarach Shemo, God will not destroy us totally. That's a promise. Even if we anger God and we don't follow the mitzvah, Shekein Katuv, Ko Amar Hashem, so saith the Lord, Im yimadu shamayim milamala, you with me? You have the translation?
Well, he didn't say he will never destroy us.
That's what he says. God promises he won't destroy us.
Where?
He's giving me the quote. Where? Jeremiah 31. So saith the Lord. Okay. Jeremiah 31.
Yeah.
Translate it for me. If the heavens will.
The heavens above could be measured in the foundation of the earth, searched out.
Go on.
Then I too would reject the entire seed of Israel because all of that they have done.
So saith the Lord. Yeah. But then it would say for Norman Elimelech. Who wrote the Norman Elimelech? I'm starting to be more sensitive than to what Chassidus say. They say, listen, Klal Yisrael are tzaddikim. כמו שכתוב, ואמר כולם צדיקים. ואם כן, אף שהפרטים חוטאים לפעמים, even if the details, the specific people sin, אבל הכללות הם תמיד קיימים בקדושתם. בכלל ישראל is קדוש. A very Hasidic perspective. Every single Jew might be a sinner.
That's what our book says, right?
He refers to it. Every single Jew might be a sinner, but all of Klal Yisrael are tzaddikim. Have you been tzaddikim and everybody sins? Kacha. Ve'ein tzatan v'impeg rabba chalila. V'tamit tzuratam chakukah l'malah. Their shape is hewn above. Ad kan l'shona. V'nireh, it seems to me, d'mashem medameh nabi klalut Yisrael l'medidat shamayim l'malah. That which the prophet, the Navi, compares Klal Yisrael to Midiyat Shemayim, Meramez al Divir Avinu Noam Ali Melech. It's similar. Dekatav sheklalut Yisrael yishleima b'li pegam b'chukat tzuratam l'mala. So he says they're blemishless. They're beautiful. They're perfect. Al kein amar d'moshi yefshar d'lasi d'moshi yadim d'od Shemayim l'mala. Just like you cannot measure the heavens. Kein yefshar d'od et erach Yisrael. You can't evaluate, you can't measure the value of Israel. דומדים בקיסי הקבר במעלה. וכן, אי אפשר לחקור אותם למטה שהם הם בוסתי הארץ למטה. Okay, you can't uproot them, okay, because those are the most הארץ למטה, אף בשעה שחס ושלום אינו עוצים רצון השם הכל. Even if the Jews don't follow the will of God. וכיוון שכן, and if this is true, אנו יכולים להיות בטוחים, we know for sure, שם יתברוך יעמד דברו בכל אופן, במה שיפתחתנו בתור הנביאים הכתובים, שיגלנו מגלות החל, Achel, that God will redeem us from this bitter galut. How do we know God will do it even if we don't deserve it? How do we know? That is the promise. Even if we don't deserve it, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I will redeem. Why are you like, well? Alright.
Why are we waiting?
One second. The God's words are true. Vakata Beit Yosef, Bechad Perush, Tekayel, Abtachat Gula. שהשם יתברך ימית ורוב בזה לדעות אותנו בקרוב במהרה בימינו אמן בית אך בת this is a Johnny your answer אופן הגאולה how איך תהיה אם בנס נגלה ומפורסם או בנס מלובש בטבע זה תלוי במעשינו ובהתנהגותינו the way of the redemption will the redemption be miraculous or will the redemption be drawn out and natural. He says, that depends. What does it depend on? How you behave. אם נהגת מן בדרכי התורה לקיים מצוות בכל הכתוב בתורה הקדושה, if you put תחילה on your tzitzis, אז נזכה לגאולה בריש גלי. Then you... I can't even get a rise out of it. Then you will merit, okay, the גאולה בריש גלי. ריש גלי? Overt head, meaning explicitly. B'neis nigla for some lamala minatav. It will be a supernatural salvation. Aval im chas v'shalom nihiya b'bchinat ein osim mitzvah Hashem akvam. But if we do not act in concordance with the will of God, then nihiya b'bchinat then asai tia gedula einay nis neis hameluvash b'teva. Then
interesting. I don't think the opposite.
What?
I think the opposite. Like if we're like already like on a high level, then God doesn't need to like sound the trumpet and like. Make a big deal, but
yeah. I guess not. No, I think that it follows. I just say this instead. But that was a mefurash pshas, a very famous gemara. This is a pasuk from Daniel. Can you translate that for me? What is the pasuk from Daniel? Do you have with me to do with you, Johnny? Okay. Aru im ananei shemaya, they will rise up or something with the clouds of the heavens. Kvar enash ate, man, the man hath come. Or something like that.
Come in the form of clouds of heaven.
Okay. Okay. Meaning that sounds pretty miraculous.
Did you jump something?
What?
Did you jump?
No, I've been reading. Uktiv. Yeah, I did that. Uktiv. Aniv rochev al chamor. But it also says.
White donkeys.
White donkeys. There you go. Zachu. The Gemara says. Iman ane shmai. Lo zachu. Aniv rochev al chamor. There's other Gemaras like that. Are you familiar with the other Gemara? This is Be'ita, Achishana, Zachu, Achishana, Be'ita, Lo Zachu, Be'ita, same thing. Ritzono Lomar, Im Nia B'tichinat Zachu, if we merit, Azai Tavo Agu'ula B'tichinat Anei Shemai, Shu Neis before some, then the clouds of the heavens will bring the miraculous redemption. Lo Zachu, Azia B'teva. And I think this fits in, by the way, with what we said. If we're on the level, then when the miracles come, we're able to take those miracles and translate them into ways that we can use. Because we expect them. Now, someone who's like me'al hatevas, you know what I'm saying? Those few people that we talk about who they just live in another world. So then when they see things that, or when they experience things, or you hear stories about them, they're not surprised by it. You know what I mean? Because they understand that the way of the world is different than we understand it. But if the miracles were to happen to the Jewish people now, we wouldn't know what to do with it in a sense. You understand what I'm saying? We would think it's like all Star Wars special effects. It wouldn't bring us closer to Ribono Shel Olam. It might even have the opposite effect. So, and I think that that's a very better way of understanding. Meaning, we are at the level where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to bring the Geula. He wants us to perfect the world. But we're not on the level where the miracles would help that. It has to be a process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to bring us slowly but surely to the point then when the miracles could mean something to us. I think that's the way I understand it. And I think that's something a little bit more meaningful. Because like if the heavens opened up tomorrow, and it sounds crazy, but I don't know if the world would you know what I mean? You understand what I mean?
How can you
change so? Didn't Nesha understand it? Why didn't you pray that the Yamsuf would open up?
No.
Exactly.
And what happened?
Just
hold on. Hold on. And what happened?
It did open up.
And? Good. And he gave him the Torah with the most unbelievable miracles possible. And what happened?
They lost it.
They lost it. Why did they lose it?
Because it stopped.
Because they weren't ready for it.
It stopped.
No, it didn't stop. In the Midbar?
I don't know. It's like kind of like a law. Like Moshe disappeared.
Was it the whole point of like...
But
the whole word of Shlach Lecha Anashim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shlach Lecha, the Rashi said L'Ritzoncha. Why L'Ritzoncha? So they say because in the Midbar there was existence Me'al HaTeva. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I'm telling you that you don't need messengers. But as soon as you think that you need them, you want to be there, then you need them. Exactly. Meaning that even they were living in the Midbar, they weren't ready. And they had to have a whole generation die out of those people in order for them to be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael in a normal way. I think the opposite is true as well. Meaning, like, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Eretz Yisrael in a miraculous way, would we be connected to it in a way that's so powerful and meaningful? And would we build up, would we be able to build ourselves up spiritually to the point where having Mashiach come would mean something? You know what I'm saying? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu in 1948 gave Eretz Yisrael and said, okay, build a Beis HaMikdash. Would the Jews have done it?
Justification for Moshe Dayan giving back the
48.
Harabais.
Yeah. So. And he didn't even want it when they got it. We weren't even ready for it when we have Harabai, Biyadenu, in air quotes. You know what I'm saying? So we have to work towards that. So you're saying, why didn't it happen then? We were ready. We're not, we just weren't ready. No, you're saying we were ready 2,000 years ago?
No,
you weren't ready 2,000 years ago.
You're saying. Oof. You say we weren't ready. Okay. So
I'm not saying we weren't ready.
You also say.
I am not saying that.
Saying
the Ribono Shel Olam is saying we weren't ready.
Okay.
Because if we were ready,
that's
we would have done it.
That's your interpretation of this, that we weren't ready. You're also saying that the majority of Jews aren't good Jews, aren't keeping mitzvot now.
Right.
What's a good
so
Jew?
We're still
wait,
not there.
Stop. One second. I would for sure say that we have, without a doubt, progressed. We have progressed in two directions. The bad have gotten worse. Well, I don't know if that's true. I don't know how bad. I don't know how bad, how unaffiliated the Jews in Europe were. So I don't have any first-hand knowledge. I take it back. One gets the sense they were extremely unaffiliated. Okay? So would you say it's gotten worse than it was? No. Would you say that it's gotten better than it was?
How can it not have gotten worse?
Of course it got worse.
Isn't the Jews in Germany?
No, they weren't like married to shiksas having a Hanukkah bush.
Oh, cool. I think they were.
Hanukkah bush?
Yes, but it wasn't the...
There was no Hanukkah bush. I think they were. They were all. I think so. They were all trying to get jobs, and you know what I'm saying. And Christianize.
There was no Hanukkah
job.
What?
They were trying to get jobs.
They were all trying to Christianize in order to get university.
Yeah, but
whatever.
They weren't. There was no Hanukkah bush.
I don't know. I don't know.
It was.
I'm not one who romanticizes the European existence. Are we? You know what I'm saying? So let's say it got worse. I'll even grant you that. But without a doubt, it got better. It got better on an exponential level. It's better.
Level of learning.
No, not even that. A level of Shemira and Mitzvot, I'm convinced, is significantly higher than it ever was. I think that we romanticize Shtetl life. And people, they were Shomer Mitzvot. But they're not in the nature and the meticulousness and the... Just look at, like you say, the Rabbanim. Look at, you know the picture of the Rabbanim they're talking about with their wives. You know what I'm saying? Now, more women cover their hair than most of the Rosh Hashiva's wives do. did back then. Why? What? That was the way it was. Just look. Look at the pictures.
Tipped.
It tipped.
But again, I was saying question about Richard.
So my point is this. I think that we're moving in a certain direction. That's the idea. Now you see it now, there's a huge return to spirituality. Even in the secular public. You see in Israel, the stuff that goes on now. It goes in waves. But there's a yearning, there's a desire for something. Things that are important, like just the language that people talk about. You say a tipping point, and then everybody works together. Stop here.